How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Very big show today. We're going to be joined in the first segment by Chris Harrington. Mookie Ghana is going to be on the show today talking the WWE earnings report, the WWE network, subscriber numbers, and more. That's going to be in the first segment. Dave Meltzer joining us in the second segment, as he does every week on Thursday here on this program. We'll take your phone calls, emails, talk some news in the final segment as well. No time to waste here today. If you want to send text messages between now and 40 after, the number 425-780-7566. No phone calls till at least 3:40 Eastern, 12:40 Pacific. We got too much to talk about. Since we're going to be talking the network numbers starting in the next segment, I want to mention a little bit of news here. First off, it was officially announced today, Season 3 of Lucha Underground, which has already been filmed and is in the can, is going to be debuting September 7 at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Lucha Underground will return for an all-new 40-episode third season, Wednesday, September 7th. Masked heroes and villains will continue to battle it out for wrestling supremacy in the hour-long series. With Dario Cueto's fate unclear, only one thing is for sure. This new season will bring even more death-defying action with a new set of luchadores ready to take their mark on the temple. That's kicking off in September. Also today, it was officially announced TakeOver August 20th NXT. It is Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, as well as Asuka versus Bayley. And we've got a lot more news coming up later on, but we got to head to a break. So back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Also joining us here today is Chris Harrington to talk about these WWE Quarter 2 results. Chris, how are you doing today?
Great, Brian. How are you guys?
Not too bad. So, we got a lot of stuff to talk about here today. Let's not waste any time. First off, tell us about this WWE Network subscriber number.
So, WWE for its second quarter, which lasts, of course, from April to June, said that they averaged 1.517 million paid subscribers over the entire quarter, and they ended the quarter a little bit higher on domestic paid subs than they were at WrestleMania time. They ended the quarter at 1.13 million domestic paid subs, and they ended at 381,000 international paid subs. So they're technically, as of June 30th, you know, really hitting their peak in terms of paid subs from where they were. And of course, a lot of that is coming from the conversion factor from that free WrestleMania promotion they did this year, back when they had 281,000 free domestic subs and 89,000 free international subs.
So right now, we don't really know if it was worth it to give WrestleMania away for free.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at last year and say, well, what happened between WrestleMania and June 30th, you would see that domestic paid by the time June 30th rolled around had dropped by almost 200,000. Now, international started to go up, and I think international is always really tough to kind of make an argument about because you have new marketplaces that are being introduced over each of these quarters here that really kind of muddies the water. So let's just talk domestic. So instead of dropping by 200,000 like they did last year, this year they went up by, you know, a real minor amount, 20,000 or so. So you could say maybe we got 20,000 subs or 200,000 subs, I should say. Now, 200,000 subs at 10 bucks a pop is 2 million bucks a month is times 3 months is $6 million. Now, was it worth throwing away all that business for $6 million? No. But is it worth it if you get them to the end of December and you get them, you know, time and time and time again? Possibly. It's a possibly good thing. Problem is WWE doesn't give us a lot of visibility about when they get this retention on these kind of free trials. And that's a question they've been asked before, and they've always been careful really not to answer.
Well, the other thing that we don't know is how many of those people would have bought WrestleMania if it were not available for free? How many people quit and then watched the show for free because people are or were able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, my takeaway from this all is that I can't call it a failure. I cannot call it a rousing success. It's not like I saw numbers go up by hundreds and hundreds of thousands. I was impressed to see that the churn number, which is essentially the number of people that quit your service, was much lower than I expected it to be. It was about 471,000, I think, this month or this quarter. And in the past, the post-WrestleMania quarter has been sky high. So I thought if they were going to shoot up to 700,000 or 800,000, that would be a real calamity. It wasn't that high. So that says to me, maybe they're finally getting churn under control. And maybe this brand extension was an excuse to get people to say, okay, I'll stick with this a little bit longer than I expected to.
Now, it appears to me from watching or from looking at the earnings report here that this shows exactly what we've been talking about for a long time here, which is the number of individuals that are engaged in WWE is lower, but they're spending more money on the product. Is that correct?
On a domestic side, for sure. We saw probably house show attendance and TV attendance and pay-per-view attendance, basically all attendance except for WrestleMania, was probably 6,100 people a show last year for the first half of the year. And this year it's more like 5,800 people a show. But they're making more money because they were able to jack up ticket prices. I think it was 6% in Q1 and 12% in Q2 year over year. So they're making more money by monetizing that base of hardcore fans. But I got to think there's a ceiling to that.
Okay.
Internationally, they're doing better. They had a really good European tour for Q2. They averaged 8,000 people a show internationally. So we're seeing them also start to put a little bit more effort in trying to squeeze money out of the international sector.
Okay, I got to bring this up because you wrote an article, I believe, for Wrestling Inc. And there's a chart here, and I want you to talk about it. The Raw ratings and the SmackDown ratings are way down year to year. And a lot of people say, well, Brian, everything is down on television, blah, 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 blah. So you've got a look here at the top 25 cable networks, and year to year, the top 25 cable networks are down 5%. The USA Network is down 7%, yet Raw and SmackDown are down 11 and 10% respectively. So they are down twice. They're down double what the cable networks are down this year. So it is a much steeper drop than just the old television as a whole is down.
This quarter, for sure. Now, that chart you referenced was actually the lead slide in WWE's KPIs, their key performance indicators.
Really?
And so that's WWE themselves makes those numbers. And so for Q1, it looked a little better for them. And so they were using that kind of as a, we're down, but we're not as bad as the rest of TV. But now, of course, it's come to bite them in the butt as they see, you know, it makes them seem like they're sliding a lot faster. Now, I think their answer to that will be, well, we just did the brand extension. And so now it's the product's going to be hot again. But of course, you know, they're always going to have an answer when you throw that in their face.
Another thing that I got to talk about here, a very popular topic on social media, and we could talk social media, but I got to get this out of the way first. The WWE WrestleMania attendance number. This sends people into a fury. What have we determined from this earnings call and what they have put up online on their corporate site?
Yes, and I think that's the key fact here is that these aren't numbers I made up myself. These are numbers straight from WWE's SEC filings. And so they try to be very precise when they actually have to put these numbers in front of investors and they're being held as material fact. It says that in second quarter of 2016, they averaged 6,600 people a show for North America, if you include WrestleMania, and 5,400 a show if you don't include WrestleMania, and they said we did 62 shows. So if you do a little math there, what you can quickly figure out is, well, what would have to be the difference for that one show for it to pop up your average attendance by 1,200? And when you do that math, you find that it would be somewhere between probably 74,000 and 86,000. So 80,000 is probably a good round middle number. So somewhere in that is what we can call the paid WWE WrestleMania 32 attendance, which is, you know, between 74,000 and 86,000 is a very respectable number. However, it is a far cry from the 103 thousand that they claimed. And I had somebody on Twitter ask me, well, you're not including all the comps and the wrestlers' families. And I was like, do you really think 20,000 people were there comp?
That's a lot of families.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the Samoans are a very large group. So maybe it was just all Samoans.
That is true. Any other very important notes here? We got about a minute left. What are the biggest takeaways?
You know, they were asked about the UFC sale and the fact that WWE is only worth like half to or a third of what UFC is. And of course, they just kind of said, well, you don't really know that it's not public. And hey, if a good deal ever came our way, we'd always consider it. And so they gave kind of their normal answer of saying branded content is worth a lot. Hey, we're branded content. There's no mention of Brock Lesnar. They said NXT, we're doing a brand split because we have so much talent because Paul Levesque has done such a good job developing talent at NXT, was what Vince McMahon said as well. So it was a fine call in terms of they had good numbers, but I don't think there's anything where as a wrestling journalist, you're going to walk away and say, wow, we got him on this one.
And I know it doesn't mean a whole lot, but how's the stock today?
Stock was down about 1%. I think that's good in the sense that it wasn't plummeting through the floor. I think they had decent results. I think they were just in line with what they had said. And the one thing WWE is finally good at is they seem to be good at predicting where they're going to be for WWE Network subscriptions by the next call. So I think that's a good sign for them because that's going to control a lot of that uncertainty that they were getting with some of their results.
All right, quick plugs.
Mookie Ghana on Twitter. You can find, I have a podcast called WrestleNomics over at voicesofwrestling.com. And if you go to wrestlinginc.com, you can see my article all about these results.
All right, Chris, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. And we are heading to a break. Back in a moment with Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi is in fact here. And Dave Meltzer is joining us. As always, here on Thursdays. And Dave, what's going on?
It's extremely busy right now. So, yes. Yeah, I was just going through the limited information they gave in the financial reports. By the way, real quick, because it's something we talked about last night, Charlotte's not taking any time off, and that the championship change was just because they wanted something really big on that show. It was originally scheduled for SummerSlam, and they just felt that they would rather do it now. They're going to do a rematch at SummerSlam, but they just wanted to do. They wanted that Raw show to have a bang, and one of the ideas was, well, let's put a championship change there instead of on SummerSlam.
She's not even off this week?
She's back on the road this weekend. She's going to miss. There's like a show. There's a weekend that she's missing because I think she's got a photo shoot. But essentially, she's got no time off, no.
Wow. All right. What do you take away from this quarterly earnings report?
I mean, nothing that's surprising. I mean, the profit was low, but they had told, you know, you that going in. I mean, there's more revenue, but they're spending more. So the profits, you know, the profits are actually down from last year. The network number, it's up, but they did not increase the, put it this way, it was, if you factor in the free subscriptions, and the increase in paid subscriptions from this year compared to last year, they increased more at last year's WrestleMania, even though this year's WrestleMania was a bigger one. So last year's WrestleMania was garnered more of an increase. You're going to have a bigger number now because of the fact that this is the when you have free subscriptions, all those people that signed up for free, their money wasn't counted until the end of this quarter. So the drop-off would be essentially delayed by a month, so the direct comparisons aren't exactly alike. I mean, put it this way, the numbers are they're increasing, but they didn't increase at the level last year. They're lower than I predicted, but they were lower than, you know, they were lower than they would have been had they not done it if they had grown the same each year, and that's not even factoring in the international markets where they should have had more growth. So the stock's down. It's not bad. It's not good. It's exactly what was predicted. When I looked through the numbers, I mean, there's nothing really surprising. It's all about the network number and the TV rights, and the network number is up, but you know, it's 1.5 million. It'll be a little bit lower next quarter, and you know, the end of the year will probably be slightly lower than that, and then it'll pick back up again, and we'll see what level of growth they have next year. I mean, it's the growth comes. For you know, January until, I guess we would say now, May. It used to be January until WrestleMania, but now with the free month, it's kind of delayed, so it'd be a month later. So the growth, that's when the growth pretty much comes, is January through May, and then you just try to hold steady for the rest of the year. That's kind of what it is.
People seem shocked that in the conference call, not one single person asked about Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, well, the financial, that's not something the financial people are looking at, is Brock Lesnar or that story. They're looking at, international expansion, long-term, trends, and Brock Lesnar being suspended, it's not even something that they would be concerned about.
Well, I mean, there should be concern to a degree if he's one of your big draws and there's the potential that he will be out, even though he won't be.
But he won't be. They already made that clear. So
I know, but investors, I would be surprised if investors were privy to any of that information. They don't seem to be privy to a lot of information.
That's not a secret. I think that it's possible. Where it will come out is if a tragedy happens, then people will start asking about the wellness policy and all that. And then, but there's been no tragedy, so it's not something that, if your job is profits and losses and long term business, it's the Lesnar thing's just not really. It's not significant at all. I mean, if I was there, it was like, there's questions about the wellness policy, but what does that have to do with finances other than, if they're going to drop the wellness policy, then their profits will probably go up a little bit, but then the danger, the risks to the athletes may go up as well, and I don't know if you want that.
Dave, going forward, can we see more, because WrestleMania is obviously such a big weekend in that, second April, May, and June, and the Royal Rumble's in the first month, or the first quarter, and then SummerSlam, which has now become a three-day weekend, taking place in August. Could we see some, obviously, Survivor Series or whatever the November pay-per-view is going to be, could we see that start turning into a three-day weekend too? And could we start seeing a little bit more of an emphasis on WWE's business as far as like making that big destination event every quarter and trying to build? Because they did do a great job in LA with Survivor Series or SummerSlam over the last couple of years. They've transferred that to New York and have the benefit of having that big NXT show that goes along with it. Can we start seeing this go in that direction where they're really building up to these tent poles like more now than ever?
Yes, I expect that'll happen. I mean, we were seeing it with SummerSlam. We saw it this year with Rumble to a degree. I think that there'll always be the addition of the NXT show, which I think will be probably, I don't know if they're going to do it in November or not, but it wouldn't surprise me that they do, that you, you do a big NXT show in the same week. And it makes all the sense in the world. You know, the fan base is there, and the NXT show is going to draw more than it's going to draw anywhere else if it's in conjunction with a big pay-per-view that people travel to. So, yeah, the adding the concert for SummerSlam and everything. And I think that that's I don't know if you can get people to travel for something like that four times a year, but I do think you can for three.
That's what I was wondering about, like the sustainability of it because I know it's risky, obviously, because it's November and it's Toronto. But like, almost using that as a chip to kind of try to spread these things as far apart as possible. And you almost put it in a city that's starving. So you almost artificially get that bounce of people just, trying to flood, even regionally for 3 days.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to do NXT in Toronto. NXT in Toronto is going to drop big. Just because of the nature of the Toronto market, it's a unique market. I would absolutely do an NXT show that Saturday night. I would think they would at least be thinking about it. I don't know if they're doing it. They haven't announced it, but it makes all the sense in the world. They should do it.
Was there anything brought up in the conference call or anything you'd like to talk about regarding the amount of money that the network generated and the profits of the network based on how much they're spending on it?
Well, remember I told you 3 months ago when the profits were really high on the network? I said that that's because they're the nature of the spending. And this next quarter, they were spending a lot more on, because you got to remember, they're spending $120 million a year. But last quarter, they spent, I forgot what the number was, but it was, $120 million a year would essentially be $30 million a quarter. And I think last quarter, I don't remember. It was like 17 or 19 million, some number like that. So you're going to have to catch up, and this is the quarter where it was kind of like the catch up. So, yeah, they lost money. I mean, it's funny. WrestleMania on paper lost money, but it really didn't. But on paper, it did. And the network revenue, you know, the WWE Network, which also includes pay-per-view and everything like that. It was also a money loser. I think that that's the actual figure here. It lost $5.7 million for the quarter, and that's the WrestleMania quarter where you would think traditionally the WrestleMania quarter you're going to, you know, that's the profits on that's going to be tens of millions of dollars. So, but it's, yeah, this is the quarter where, and that's the reason that the total profits were $800,000 is because this is the quarter where the expenses were much, much higher for programming and things like that on the network. And, but they said that 3 months ago at the conference call. They said the next quarter is going to break even. Well, they actually made very little money, but they did, you know, it was going to be 0.0, it was 0.8. So again, like if you weren't, if you listen to their projections, they did exactly what they said they were going to do, and the network number is essentially in line with their own projections. So there were no surprises there. I mean,
No. But my question is more, does anybody ever question the amount of money that they spend on some of that programming on the network, which
I do.
I'm sure people like and everything like that, but it doesn't seem like it's in any way a deal breaker. And if anything, it's just eating away at what should be big profits for that network.
Yeah, I think that they could profit more, but that, you know, one of the things with those, with that programming, if you spend it, is that you can repeat it, especially on the network, you can repeat it for 100 years. So the value of that content, you know, it's not really just the value this year, it's the value of just having it. So it's kind of like you're making an investment for the future, and it's like, you know, it's kind of like their movie division in the sense that the movies, you know, lose money. But the idea is, but you always got those movies and you can plug them in forever. But at the same time, they have 150,000 hours of programming, okay, in their library. They have 6,000 on the network, most of which will never see the light of day. And adding lots and having more and more and more and more content, they have unlimited content anyway. So you can make the argument, well, you know, that if they just put more of the old wrestling content.
Yeah, what about all that Thunder that they've got in the library?
What?
Thunder.
Oh, there's a million things they got in the library. They got 144,000 hours, roughly, of old footage that, you know, and most of that old stuff, who knows if we're ever going to see. I mean, most of it we'll never see, ever. And some of it's probably, like, really cool stuff.
All right, what is in the Observer this week that everybody can check out at WrestlingObserver.com?
Yeah, it's a big story on the whole Lesnar thing and how it relates and, you know, the test and the reason that he's not suspended and the reason he's not subject to the wellness policy and if that makes any sense and kind of like what, you know, none of the talent was aware of any of this. I'm sure some of the, you know, one or two talents were because all of X talent. But, I mean, generally speaking, everybody was pretty surprised at that. The fact that Brock has a free pass, I guess.
Basically, I mean, a free pass.
It's kind of weird reactions, but there's that and G1 tournament, the whole build to SummerSlam and what's going on there and the booking of the two, you know, the two brands. And
all right, well, we have to head to a break. I want to thank you so much. We'll plug in more after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Lots of stuff to talk about here today. If you want to give us a call, you know the numbers. And if not, they're on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com every day, 425-488-0525, toll-free 844-411-5411, text messages 425-780-7566, I'm on Twitter at Brian Alvarez, Mike is on Twitter at SemperVivi, Sports Byline is at Sports Byline USA, I'm on Instagram at 4W Online, if you want to check that out, baby pics, what more could you ask for but baby pics? Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up? Hello, you're on the air.
What's up?
Awesome call. Let's talk some news here today. As noted in the first segment, Lucha Underground is returning for Season 3, September 7, 8 p.m. It will be a 40-episode season.
Oh.
Beginning Wednesday, September 7th, 8 Eastern. So if you're a fan of Lucha Underground, that is when Season 3 kicks off. You got a 1 month break, basically.
That's yeah, and good news for them that it's going to be on there. It's already announced, and there you go. It's no worries. You're getting 40 episodes. Now, what happens after this? We'll have to see. But again, I know things are probably down a little bit interest wise in it and everything. But still, as far as the concept goes, and making for entertaining TV, they certainly have done that.
All right. When I take a call, everybody, the phone will ring and ring and ring and ring. And if it's not ringing, keep trying. And if you hear the show, that means you're next in line. So be ready to be live on the air, such as this person here on the studio line. You're on the air.
This is Jim from Virginia.
Jim knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does.
I didn't need to explain that to Jim.
That's right.
What's happening?
I got a question for Mike.
Yes.
Mike, what do you think of the recent title change in Stardom for Storm winning the title over Io Shirai?
It was a surprise. I still haven't seen it yet or anything, and I'm not sure. I believe it's up on the Stardom-World.com service that they started up, which is basically what their YouTube channel was, except this way there's no international boundaries as far as YouTube goes or Google or any of that sort of stuff. So I haven't seen it yet, so you know, I can't really judge, although I was surprised, but they want to make somebody some international impact. I guess that would be the way you do it. So they've done a good job featuring some of the gaijin women, you know, and putting focus on them, even down to the, like, newcomers like Chelsea and things like that. They do put a heavy dose of focus on them and when they're paired up. So this is just another example of it. They did this last year, too, to an extent with the Scottish girl who's now in NXT, which I'm just brain locking on her name right now, but Nikki Storm. They did that with her, and now that she's gone, you know, you might as well try it with somebody else, and that seems to be what they're doing.
Well, is NXT going to make Billy Kay one of their new top heels?
I'm a top heel?
Yeah, because she just destroyed Santana Garrett last night.
I didn't see it, but that would make sense. I mean, now with all those women now going up to SmackDown and Raw, it does leave, you know, holes there for people to try to jump on. And I don't know what the deal is going to be with Asuka, but if Bayley's coming up, I mean, to me, Asuka just makes sense as being the de facto number one baby face. So everybody else can basically be interchangeable. I know you're going to need some heels, but it doesn't really matter what they are.
The de facto number one baby face. Interesting.
Who else is it?
Interesting you would say that. Anything else, Jim?
One last thing for the both of you. Now, hold on to your hats now. Eva Marie is going to be a judge for the Miss Teen USA pageant.
That's right. I knew that, Jim.
Brian's holding on to something else.
I know you.
How dare you, Mike?
Your seat. Your seat.
You're going to watch it and record that.
Well, I mean, I will, but come on, Mike.
Watch it back in slow motion.
Jim, I want to thank you very much for the call. What does this show come to here? Got a whole bunch of text messages I want to get into here. You can always send these. I already gave out the text message number. You don't need that. Let's see what we've got. 2 weeks ago, this person says, I heard a rumor of Prince Puma to WWE, but nothing since. Well, the story is, he was under contract with Lucha Underground, and they have got... The contracts are such that you cannot go to another company for X amount of months after your final appearance on television. So, it's essentially, can he get out of that? Does he have to wait till mid-2017? Is he going to re-sign? There's a lot of different options in terms of what's going on with Prince Puma, so it is a wait-and-see at the moment. This person says, I'm going to hold out hope on judging SmackDown. I think it will build over time. They don't have the same talented roster. Raw let it all hang out and left not much for next week, while SmackDown did. Well, that's true. They can add guys, and over time, it will be a better show. That's Chris in Vegas.
He's
positive about SmackDown.
Hey, and look, like I said, if everything's clicking and you have... Orton and AJ Styles and, well, forget about Dolph Ziggler, but you have Orton and AJ Styles and John Cena. and you were to call up a Samoa Joe or a Shinsuke Nakamura, I mean, it does wonders for that roster. It really does, at least on top. Again, just like Raw, you need to figure out what you're going to do with your undercard. And unlike Raw, they really are hampered by this because of the lack of depth. They're going to try to, you know, put some salve on that wound for a little bit by bringing back people like Shelton Benjamin and Rhino and things like that. But again, the top of it is okay. It's just, you know, and having, you know, a six-guy rotation up top, everybody going against each other, I think is fine. It's just going to be, can they fill time and can they make the rest of that show interesting viewing from, you know, here on out?
Let's go to the toll-free line. You are on the air. What's up?
Hey, Brian, Mike. It's Danny H. How are you?
Yes, Danny. What's going on?
So I'll give you a recommendation when you watch the Cruiserweight Classic tonight, because Dave's report wasn't really that great. Like the Brian Kendrick, like in the Bucketology show, he had like this redemption arc. But then in the show last night, he was totally working a heel. So it was like a bait and switch. And then like biased commentary from Daniel Bryan made the match so much better. So I think that's a match you and Vinny are really going to enjoy tonight, because it's like almost like a Bobby Heenan dynamic, because Dan Bryan just loves the guy and he cheats. Like, well, it's crafty thinking. So I think the main event is really enjoyable and should really be, and I bet you watch it. So
I did hear that. Here's what I heard this morning when I woke up, because I've not seen the Cruiserweight Classic yet. I heard that Daniel Bryan was great, which is no surprise. I heard that Brian Kendrick was an excellent worker and told a great story in his match. And I had a few people tell me that they just don't get Zack Sabre Jr. Now, I've not seen the show yet, but apparently they were shocked at his look, I guess, more than anything else.
But they get Anthony Bennett?
I don't know about Anthony Bennett, because I think the issue is that they had heard the name Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh.
And then when they finally saw him, I mean, the first text I got when I woke up was, has he ever been in a gym?
Well, they did make him the opening match guy, so somebody with so much international buzz, opening match guy. Maybe they're like, well, he doesn't deserve a main event spot in these showcase shows, I guess.
Well, I guess we'll see how it goes as the Cruiserweight Classic continues. And who gets signed and who does not, as we do have the Cruiserweight division coming to Raw. And they are going to sign a lot of those guys. So we shall see what there is to see. Buddy Murphy versus Kota Ibushi, this person says, wrestling in 2016 is weird.
It is. It really is. Buddy Murphy against Kota Ibushi.
There, sure. Dude, the Drifter versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I've seen matches this year I never imagined I could possibly see.
No, and signings and people just in the same vicinity of each other. Wrestling in 2016 has turned into something very, you know, all of wrestling now seems like a PWG weekend, you know, for guys backstage. It used to be a thing, well, politics doesn't apply in some ways, and some of this can't be on TV anyway or can't be taped for, you know, and it just becomes just a big, great get-together for those guys. And, like, in some ways, like, all of these locker rooms and these shows take place throughout the country, no matter what promotion it is, whether it's here, England, or Japan, it just seems to be all a big get-together for everybody anymore. It's amazing.
This person says, on Jim's question on Stardom, they possibly changed the title because Shirai is having surgery.
Well, there you go. I did not know that, so there you go.
Alrighty,
still, though, also, it's who, you know, who she changes it to. They could have given it to one of the natives, and they didn't. So they obviously, you know, want to have some sort of plan for Tony.
I want to mention here that ZZ is no longer with WWE. He has been cut.
Oh, no.
ZZ of Tough Enough. Him, Josh Woods, and Thomas Kingdon have all been released. All of this information is up there on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Sad to see ZZ go, but excited to see him in the Impact Zone here in just a matter of time, I'm sure.
And what about Sara Lee?
I'm not sure. Sara Lee's still there. Okay. As well as the Yeti. The studio line, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi, this is John from Philly.
Yes, John.
So I'm at work, and I was just, I'm a subscriber, and I was kind of bored, so I was thinking of the Roman Reigns Magic Beans promo. I don't know if you remember that.
Of course I remember that. How could I forget it?
I went back and I listened to the Observer Radio from that night. And after you went over the promo, you said, I am 100% convinced that he is turning heel. There's no way that he cut this promo and he's not turning heel. Dave said, no, I think this is a way to basically to get him over. And I just laughed because I'm looking at the archives. And this is from January 2015. And it's just kind of my question. Everyone asks you to write a book about the death of TNA. I think a more interesting book would be all of the most ridiculous things that they have done to try to make Roman Reigns over, because it's so ridiculous. I mean,
if I were not in the point in my life where I never wanted to write another book again because of the arduous nature of that task, I would strongly consider writing the book that you just suggested right there, because this is a great story. This
Don't
is a story. It would be called Never Give Up, the Roman Reigns story.
It's so funny. It was like exactly what you just said. You were so, after the match had been, you were like, there's no way that he is a babyface cutting this. This was before he got booed at the Royal Rumble. This is way before that. And you were so convinced, you're like, there's no way he could have.
Oh man, we lost a caller. He's in the middle of putting me over. Well, let me put myself over then. So, the moral of the story that this caller just talked about here is that I was wrong, yet I was right. I was wrong in the sense that he wasn't turning heel, but I was right in the sense that there was no way that this stupid idea was going to get this guy over as a babyface.
And then it just got worse with even more stupid ideas, including beating him like a drum, including, well, lots of other things.
Every idea they had was stupid.
Good guys don't last, but bad times do when you don't make the good guys bad guys when you should do that in proper time.
I mean, the ideas may have been clever, but they were bad ideas.
They were not clever. A lot of them were not clever. They were just bad.
I mean, come on. The best thing Roman Reigns has said in months was backstage at Raw Monday when he was...
Samoan, yeah.
Yeah, he goes, I'm Samoan. That's his character. He's an angry, mean... badass Samoan.
Rip an eye
The
out.
One thing they haven't done since he was a member of the Shield. Back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Laura here says, did you know Zack Sabre Jr. is my niece's favorite wrestler, and she is 8?
Whoa.
I thought the 8-year-olds were into, like, I forget, Dolph Ziggler, Miz... I can't remember. Someone else had a little youngster that was into some way. Oh, the New Day, obviously.
Yes.
Such as my daughter in her new unicorn towel.
Aww.
Which you can check out on my Instagram, F4W Online, as well as my Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Semper Vivi. We got all sorts of great stuff up on the website, WrestlingObserver.com. If you are not a subscriber, hate to say it, but you are missing out. 8,000 shows in the archives, new shows every day. We debuted our new Filthy Tom Lawler Wednesday show yesterday, where we talked about SmackDown Live, as well as Impact. New Wrestling Observer Radio yesterday. There, of course, is today's show. Brian and Vinny later on tonight, talking Cruiserweight Classic, NXT, Raw, and more. And if you head to WrestlingObserver.com on the right-hand side of the page, you can take a look at all of the other programs that are available. The Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Marathon, 30 shows in 30 days, Carl is done. The Bobby Heenan Show is up now. There was a Lance Russell show up yesterday, Norvell Austin a couple of days ago. We got all sorts of great shows. Click that full radio archive, and you'll get the full radio archive. Sign up for full access to all of it. I promise you, I guarantee if you're a wrestling fan, you will not regret it, because it is the best wrestling website in the world with the best shows. So head up there and check that out, everybody. And that is it from here. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Daily replays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And Saturday shows as well. All of the schedule is up at sportsbyline.com. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.